We are plugged in and ready to go. And it's Saturday the 15th of July 2017 here in Oz. And you're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam. And as usual, the podcast is up on my website, crassfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Plenty to go through up there for sure. Lots of videos and links, so check it out. A lot of stuff that interests me I put up. A lot of different categories up there going up, so getting a lot of traffic through, so please comment as well. There's a comments bar scrolling around there. The public can see it, so comment. I don't accept trolls or any clowns or anything like that, but if you have something interesting to say or leave any links, please do so. And you can also contact me at thecrassfiles at mail.com, and also all of that stuff on the website links over to iTunes. You can get the podcast there, also Twitter, Facebook. Have a look at YouTube, putting some stuff up there. You can check out opensourcetruth.com, our other great website. There'll be a lot going up there as well. Check out what's going over at Renegade, over at the Tribune. And John Rappaport's plugged in with me today. How you going, John?
Hi, good to be here.
Good to have you back. And always posting a lot of great articles over at No More Fake News. You haven't taken your finger off the pulse at all. You've been pumping them out. And so it's great to plug in with you and go over what you're putting up on your end. Because they do very well here in Australia for sure. And it's always good to have you on. And I really like your articles as well, because they're very precise and to the point, and they're not long articles. You really just get out what you want to say, and they're always very, very important articles on all sorts of different issues, not just vaccines and medical related stuff, but all sorts. So great work on that. It's been going well for you.
Thank you very much. Yes, it has. Busy as always.
That's right. I received an email just from an American friend about one of your articles, CIA Mind Control Morphed into Psychiatry, a very popular article that I posted here. Anita Whitney, I think, sent that to me, said John Rappaport is correct again, and she wrote a little article on that. But I posted this on the website and put it on Facebook. It was very popular by John Rappaport. And this is about the CIA mind control program MK Ultra, used in psychiatry and with psychiatrists today. Incredible article. We might have a look at this first, go through this one with you.
Sure. Basically, the mind control program of the CIA, which, as far as anybody knows, has never really ended, supposedly stopped in 1962, but I know that it went on beyond that. I did an interview with a author named John Marks, who wrote Search for the Manchurian Candidate, and he told me that several years after he published the book, that he spoke to somebody at the CIA who said to him, MKUltra went dark, completely dark, in 1962. It was transferred over to the CIA's Office of Research and Development at that time. And the CIA guy told Marx point blank, he said, you'll never see a shred of paper on this ever. So forget about making requests. And it's just invisible. Basically, the program was a wide-ranging program that involved many different drugs to find out what could be done to control behavior in a number of ways in people by the use of various drugs. And what I did was I found a document, 1955 CIA document, which I've quoted at No More Fake News, that stated 17 points, drugs that the CIA was looking to develop or find that would create certain mindsets in people, such as a sense of dependence, inability to work, certain disease-like symptoms that were not really diseases at all, but were the effects of the drugs, but obviously could result in people being diagnosed with certain diseases that didn't have those diseases, et cetera, et cetera.
Jeez.
And so what you find is that indeed modern psychiatry has developed exactly those kinds of drugs since that time, since 1955. And they've gone mainstream in a gigantic way. So what you've seen here is the morphing of the CIA's mind control program into the largest mental health monopoly in the world. For example, if you look at the, there are several names for these drugs, the class of drugs, neuroleptics, major tranquilizers, antipsychotic drugs that started with Thorazine and went through to, say, Haldol, and now Risperdal, which is being handed out like candy to all kinds of people, including children. These drugs are capable of causing motor brain damage and just simply destroying a person's ability to navigate their way through life. I mean, they just become utterly dependent on other people or on the government or both. And it's a perfect example of a whole class of drugs that fulfilled what the CIA was looking for, the kind of a drug that would make people dependent. Well, these drugs, according to one estimate by psychiatrist Peter Bragan, and this is about a 20-year-old estimate, that there were at least 300,000 cases of extremely debilitating brain damage in America alone as a result of this one class of psychiatric drug. So you see the whole agenda of the CIA in their mind control program, MKUltra, being expanded out into the entire society. And the results have been catastrophic.
It's frightening stuff. Just reading over the article here, it's unbelievable how you talk about the drugs mimicking descriptions of mental illness. That is absolutely unbelievable. The drugs are making people think they're mentally ill, hearing voices and all this stuff as well. And as you said, the side effects of the drugs are creating health problems that the doctors are diagnosing as other things.
That's right.
It's incredible. You know, you always thought this. You know, I've actually known people who are on pretty heavy drugs for so-called mental illnesses, and said they had these terrible conditions after them, and hearing voices and stuff like that. But it's the drugs doing it. You know, that's unbelievable. And as you said, it's gone mainstream, hasn't it? I've sent you articles before in Australia. They're giving anti-psychs to the 10-year-old kids in Australia now in the schools, and you said they're handing them out like lollies for all sorts of conditions. You know, you wet the bed, or you're not happy at school, or you're not happy at home, or you've got a problem with someone, or whatever it is. They're handing all these anti-psych medications out to our young children. It's absolutely incredible. Well, that's a very scary thing, John, what you mentioned there about the drugs mimicking the mental illnesses themselves. So they're putting a lot of I don't know what you would say, things they're putting into these things to be able to do that. It's absolutely unbelievable.
I'll give you an example, and I'm sure that you've got some listeners who have seen this kind of thing happen. Let's say that you have a kid who is 7, 8, 9 years old in school. He seems to be bored, not paying attention, distracted easily. And who knows, maybe he's very smart, maybe he's ahead of the class, he's thinking about other things, whatever. So he is diagnosed as a matter of course with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And he is prescribed Ritalin or Adderall or any of the other drugs for ADHD. Well, these are all relatives of amphetamines. They are speed type drugs. That's what they are. So typically what happens when somebody takes speed is at first they feel terrific, very clear ability to focus, think, if they're studying, to study. And then, as they keep taking the drug, they crash. Could be slow, could be quick, because this is what speed does to people. And then you'll find this same kid, despondent, sitting alone in his room. What does this sound like? Well, the mother takes him back to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist says, well, this is a clear-cut case of clinical depression. Oh, wait a minute, the mother says. We've never seen this before in our child until he started taking the drug that you gave him for ADHD. And the psychiatrist says, that's ridiculous, has nothing to do with the drug that I gave him. This is a new condition. See, so the ADHD drug caused effects which mimic the so-called clinical depression condition. So now the psychiatrist prescribes Paxil or Zoloft or Prozac. And now that drug, in some people, will cause big ups and downs. Manic depression, up, down. The mother's never seen this before, takes the kid back to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist says, well, now we really understand what's happening. Because the clinical depression that I diagnosed was just one element of a larger disorder, which is bipolar disease. It used to be called manic depression. And so that's what we know now. But of course, you see, no, it was actually the Zoloft or the Paxil that mimicked the diagnosis or the criteria for bipolar. Again, the mother says, you sure it wasn't the Zoloft that you prescribed? No connection to that. Your child has bipolar, and now we come in with heavier drugs like valproate, lithium, and now you're really in the area of causing brain damage. Now you're really in the area of causing the kid to turn into a kind of a zombie. And it's all been a kind of a progression, you see, where the drug's effects are now mimicking another diagnosis, a deeper diagnosis that the psychiatrist can give to prescribe even heavier, more toxic drugs. And that's the pattern. And that was reflected in the CIA's document in 1955, where they were looking for drugs that would mimic disease conditions. Well, here we go. Modern psychiatry. They're doing it all the time.
Damn. It's chemical lobotomies, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing to our children.
Ultimately, yeah. And some people who are older, who never went through anything like this when they were children, when they learn about this, what I'm describing here, they refer back to their own childhood, you know, as a reference, and they say, well, you know, I mean, come on, this couldn't be happening. I mean, they couldn't be doing this to children. I mean, when I was a child, I never went through anything like this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so they just don't believe it, you see, because based on their own experience, it didn't happen. But believe me, it is happening now. This is a new situation that has been building and developing for the last 20 years or so and has reached new heights. So whether or not you experienced that when you were a child, etc., it is going on all over the place now.
That's right. Yeah, everywhere. As I've seen it really spike here in Australia, I've put some articles on up on this, some new ones about Australian children. I got one here from ABC News that I put up, and this is from 2014, saying antipsychotic medication being overprescribed to Australian children. Experts say, sure they care, but there's a huge scale of saying here of how many Australian children were being given strong antipsychotic medications. The ABC has obtained data that shows more than 100,000 antipsychotic prescriptions were written last year, so that's 2014, for Australian children. And Queensland had the highest rate of prescriptions going out, followed by where I am in New South Wales. 12,000 children as young as 12,000 young people in Australia are on these anti-psych medications, John. So unbelievable. And I know from 2017 this year, there was an article up. I'll try and find it later and put it up. But on regards to this, how it's blown out and how, you know, they're finally saying that these doctors are handing too much of this stuff out, which is unbelievable. And you're getting a lot of these kids cutting themselves as well, which has really increased. A lot of young people who are, when they're alone in their rooms or stuff, they're cutting themselves up, or that's on this stuff as well. And as you said, they're going back and they're getting more and more. That's absolutely incredible. And they're saying they're handing this out to babies as well. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, how can I say this? It seems so unbelievable to say that a medical professional, psychiatrist,
God,
would look at a kid who's, say, 4 years old or 6 years old and say, this child has clinical depression, which, coming out of the mouth of a psychiatrist, their pseudoscience would be, this is a brain disorder. This is a chemical imbalance in the brain, and we know this, which is completely not true, but that's the way it's presented. So here's a kid 4 years old and, you know, does what a four-year-old does. He's going from here to there. He's running around. He's jumping. He's doing this. He's doing that, and whatever. Psych, and then it's raining out and the child doesn't know what to do, and he's sitting there, and some days he's sad and his mother is getting worried about something, and so she thinks she has a sad child on her hand. She takes him to a medical doctor, not necessarily a psychiatrist, who says your child has clinical depression. I mean, as absurd and insane as that is, it's happening. It's happening. Even younger in some cases than 4 years old. So now you're really getting into mental torture of the very, very young that no intelligent, rational person, I don't care what degrees they have after their name, would be able to justify in a moment of sanity. It's just absolute cruelty.
That's right. It's a modern day One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm surprised they're not lobotomizing kids now. I heard they're going to try and bring that back. Shock treatment, you know. Why not?
Sure, they are bringing shock treatment back.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. That's right.
It's amazing. I read in they're giving these anti-psych medication to autistic children as well. And you're like, oh my God, damn. You know,
That's right. Like they're giving sledgehammer, isn't it? That's right. To a child who's already brain damaged, quite possibly from vaccines.
Being vaccinated.
They are now laying on Risperdal, which is an antipsychotic medication that causes brain damage. And that's what they are prescribing, just, you know, okay, just try this, take this, Risperdal, here you go, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Used for, quote, alleviating the symptoms of autism. Well, if causing brain damage alleviates the symptoms of autism, it's news to me. You're just making, you're destroying the life of a human being at a very young age is what's happening. And the drugs are added onto the vaccines. The effects are increased. They're made more horrendous. Society at large has no idea what to do with these children. Because we're talking about the parents now having to deliver lifelong care for as long as they live to their child at any age, regardless as the child grows up. And in some cases, these autistic children become more aggressive and more violent the older they get.
That's right.
What are you going to do about that? I mean, you know, it's just, it's the destruction of society at the most basic level that we're seeing here.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, seeing a lot of vaccine-damaged children here in Australia, and with parents stretched to the limit looking after them, you know, autistic kids and all sorts, and the government are stripping their payments and shutting them off, treating them like criminals because they won't keep vaccinating those vaccine-injured children and vaccinate their other children that they have. So it's, as I said, yeah, it's a sledgehammer over the head of society, a big pharma sledgehammer straight over the head of our society and our children, just smashing right through without any regard for human beings whatsoever, done by these companies and doctors. They're all involved. They're all guilty all the way down the line. As far as I can see, it's funny looking at the kids' statistics in Australia, with the highest users of these antipsychotic drugs being New South Wales, where I am, and Victoria and Queensland, South Australia, Western Australia, Tasmania, Northern Territory, and Canberra, our capital, John, have much, much lower, looking at Tasmania and stuff, much lower compared to New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland, which have the biggest cities, you know, being Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane. So obviously that has something to do with living in big cities as well. That's just a guess on my part. I mean, you know, WA is much different, with Perth being only a very small city and much more nature around, as well as Tasmania, a very beautiful natural state, lots of forests and rivers and stuff like that, kids outdoors a lot more, and the Northern Territory as well, as we know. So they have such high doses of this stuff going out in New South Wales. That's the worst, where you have the biggest city here in Sydney. So is that something we see in the US, or are you getting it? I don't expect that you've looked over it, but I'm wondering if it's mainly in the big cities.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about mainly, but just like you're seeing, that's where the rates of prescriptions are the highest, because let's face it, that's where the big market is for pharmaceutical market. And also the people who live at the fringes out in the country tend to pay less attention to the propaganda that they receive through the press, because they're just living their lives, trying to make a living and so on and so forth. So they're not as easy to convince that this is any sort of good idea. It would require a lot more propaganda to bring them into the fold. The big markets are the big cities, and that's where the focus is. If you come to America, you're talking about New York, Washington, D.C., Boston, which are also, you see, tend to be the big medical centers, the biggest research centers, the biggest hospitals, the big university, medical schools, and so on and so forth. So this is where the main, these are the main targets, but it extends everywhere. And eventually Big Pharma intends to bring in the outliers, you know, from the distant places as well. But typically you see this, the people in the big cities tend to buy into medical propaganda on all fronts in a more profound way than people who, you know, are living out in farms in the country and can't be bothered with all the nonsense.
That's right. It's a different world. Yeah, going up into the country, you know, it's a completely
different.
It's so different if you spend some time away from these big cities, you know. But yeah, the propaganda and all the kids are on the devices and the phones and the iPads and the TVs and the indoctrination in the schools and everything like that. We're getting heavily indoctrinated in the schools in Australia, primary schools and high schools and stuff like that. They're running wild in there with the kids. We have a new law in Victoria where all kids have to see, I think I sent you that, where they have to see a doctor as well, that came in here. So that was incredible. That's happening. The kids have to see doctors in their school without any parental consent. That was just unbelievable. So that actually is happening in Victoria, as I say, is a criminal police state. You got the worst premiers there. It's a terrible place. Really pushing all of this there. That's where Jill Hennessy, the health minister, is. Unbelievable that they're gonna make kids see doctors in primary schools and stuff like this without the parents' knowledge. So there you go. That's what they're doing.
Any parent who would leave their child in a school system like that, I don't care what situation you're in, you know, you're just playing with fire. Because they're, you know, this is a system. You want, if you are Big Pharma, if you are the medical cartel, you want to bring more and more people into the system. And you want to start at birth, and you want to keep on going. So the idea of, quote, regular medical checkups in school without parents' consent, you want to bring these children in so that they, at a very young age, get used to being diagnosed. The doctor says, well, you have such and so, and therefore, you know, this is what you need. Well, this is not only going to be damaging to the child when he takes the drug, but it's also a way of conditioning. The child is conditioned to expect that this is what happens every, whatever it is, every 6 months, every year. You see the doctor. The doctor tells you what's wrong with you. And most of the time, there's nothing wrong with you. But it doesn't matter. The diagnosis is made. And the drugs follow. And the same with the vaccines. This is not only a way of injecting toxic substances into children, but it's also a way to bring them into the system, to get them used to the idea that the doctor is the king. And he says what's what, and he makes the diagnosis and gives the treatment, and whatever he says, that's what you do. You follow. You can't object. Because what's going to happen if a kid who, say, in the seventh grade says to the doctor, I'm okay. I feel good. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't have the flu. I've had these little things that you're telling me about, like occasionally get tired during the day, or I feel a little bit, get a little bit of a cough. But I've had this before, and it just goes away by itself. I don't need anything. Oh, now that kid is red flagged right away. Troublemaker. Doctor's not happy with that, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't want you to talk to me that way. I have much more education than you do. I'm much older. I know from experience what's happening, and I'm telling you this is what it is. Well, if this kid is a rebel at a young age, he is going to be red flagged, and files are going to contain evaluations, and that those evaluations are going to follow this kid all the way through school. Maybe even into the workplace. This is what they're doing, you see. People have to understand this. This is an all-embracing system. And there are various levels of motivation. I get this all the time from people. I'll write an article and I'll mention, you know, the profit motive, and somebody will say, well, what about this? Yeah, I've covered all that. I've gone through this I've been a reporter for 35 years now. I've looked into this whole thing. Yes, the drug companies want to make money, and the doctors want to make money, and the doctors are sometimes paid to make the diagnosis and give out the drugs, and the schools want to go along with the program. And there are researchers who want to pick up a paycheck at universities to research these drugs. And there are other researchers who want promotions and grants, and they have to go along with the tide and research the same drugs in order to get that. And the further and further you go up the ladder, there are different levels of motivation. then you get the level of control. You've got bureaucrats like Jill Hennessy, and you've got other people in many governments around the world. They just want to control people. That's what they live for. That's why they're politicians. What do you think I'm doing getting elected? You know, I'm here to control you. That's what my life is all about. That's what I want. That's the only thing that really gets me up in the morning, is the prospect of being able to tell you you're going to do this and you can't say no. Then you've got people even higher up on the food chain, so to speak, whom I refer to as the globalists. These are big-time planetary elite people who see this whole system as a way of debilitating and damaging and weakening populations from early life on through all the way to the grave, so that the 6 or 7 billion people who live on this earth in various countries will be less and less able to resist the takeover of the planet under a single global management system. And it's no accident that the original kind of pharmaceutical medicine grew up in America under Rockefeller, and that Rockefeller family and prominent members, especially David Rockefeller, have also been the arch globalists who are building the architecture of a world order, a new world order, which is a global management system in which you no longer have separate countries. You have regions, you have super regions, you have regions being connected up. That's their dream. That's what they're working toward. And they don't want free and independent and strong and powerful and alert and rational and creative people all around the place who will object and say no to this. They want people under their thumb who are compliant and obedient and weakened through toxic drugs and vaccines, who can't resist. This is not just some accidental thing. People have to understand that.
That's right. I don't know if they're seeing it, John. I don't know what to do. Since they're here, I mean.
Well, the information has to be spread far and wide on many different levels. You know, because I don't want to call it the upside, but here's the vital core. People all over the world experience these damaging effects of pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines, up close and personal. Much of the time, they don't recognize that that's the cause. But if they can be shown, this is what happened to your cousin Charlie, and this is what happened to your baby boy Frank, and this is what happened to your sister, and this is what happened to your father when he went in the hospital and he never came out and he died and they gave him these drugs. This is really the cause. It's not what the doctors told you. Wake up and understand this, and hear some evidence. Now people begin to think, and they begin to say, you know, I always suspected this. How many people have told me that over the years? I've always suspected that that was really what killed my father. That it wasn't this disease that he went into the hospital for. It was the drugs that they gave him in the hospital. And now I realize it. I mean, it's a shocker. It's a shocker to think my father, who died 25 years ago, and I've always assumed it was this, this, and the other thing, and now I suddenly realize they killed him in the hospital.
That's right.
They killed. Well, when you start talking to people this way and they begin to think, the outcome is now open. It's unpredictable. People can rise up in unpredictable ways with the truth in their hands. You know, we've talked about this before on the show here, but I recently wrote yet another article called something like, What Completely Screwed Up Health Insurance Plan Do You Want? Just to show that in America, these various choices that are being laid out, Obamacare, no, we want the Republican plan, no, we want this, whatever. They all overlook the fact of what the medical system is really doing to people, how much harm it's causing. And the more people you bring in under any kind of health plan, the more people are going to be harmed. It's just a fact. So, for example, for those people who haven't heard me mention this, July 26, 2000, Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Barbara Starfield. The review was called, Is U.S. Health Really the Best in the World? As she was a revered public health expert at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health in America. The Journal of the Medical Association is one of the most prestigious and mainstream journals in the world. Everybody's credentials, you know, up and down the line were meticulously mainstream. And her conclusion was, every year in the U.S., the medical system kills 225,000 people. So if you extrapolate that out to a decade, that's 2.25 million people killed by the medical system. Now, that's a gigantic shocker. And I have other citations from the literature to back that up. And I interviewed her, Dr. Starfield, not long before she died. And she made it clear that her estimate back in the year 2000 was a conservative estimate, she said, on the number of deaths. And that studies since then have pegged the figure even higher. And that nobody from the federal government has ever tried in America to fix this, to do anything serious about it. And that no one in the federal government ever approached her to consult on how this horrendous ongoing tragedy could be reversed. They know, but they do nothing. So for years, you know, I tried to get this information out to mainstream with no results whatsoever. And then since I've been with my website since 2001, I've gotten it out through various alternative outlets, but there are still a few significant alternative outlets that refuse to even consider articles that I write proving what the death rate is from the medical system. In the U.S., it is at least the third leading cause of death in America, if not higher. They refuse to look at this information. They refuse to do anything with it. And so my thing is to say, get this information out far and wide. Give people links to this show, this interview, this conversation, articles that prove the case of the damage that the medical system is doing all over the world. Get the information out far and wide to as many people as possible, because you never know what could happen when enough people wake up to what's going on.
That's right. Absolutely right. That was the article you mentioned. That was very popular. Great article. And that's the one I got from Al Whitney, who's been on here with me a few times, from Say No to Flu Shots. She says here, yeah, John Rappaport is right again about that article, which completely screwed up healthcare Bill Tijuana. And she said the problem is with the healthcare system in America is it's so deadly. And it really is. If you look at what you're saying there, John, the entire medical healthcare system is a serial killer, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, people are going to see it. They're taking their kids. They're associating with it. You know, they're befriending it. They're close to it. They're allowing it into their lives. But it's the serial killer behind the mask. The people aren't seeing it. It's amazing to think that everything's an experiment, because we had, I always say, Australia is an experimental sort of place. They try a lot of things on us before it gets rolled out to other parts. And no jab, no play, no pay campaign to strip parents of their benefits and stuff, that was tested here, and I think they found it quite successful, because we didn't have enough of an uproar, enough people wanting to stop it. But a lot of us did, but I don't think we had enough. And you can see that they've rolled it onto countries like France and Italy now. And Germany, they're rolling it over there. They're trying it out. They're not letting, they're going to ban kids, toddlers and stuff from going to childcare and all this. I know in Italy and people are up in arms there. So we can see the model was tried here and taken and rolled out to other countries.
So I'm glad you brought this up.
Didn't come out of the blue sky, John.
You know? No, it didn't. And, I've said this before in at least a couple of articles. Australia is an ideal place for these experiments.
Perfect.
Because, first of all, the land mass is quite about the same, very similar to the U.S., but the population in terms of that land mass is very, very small. So, therefore, it's a much easier place to run these kinds of experiments. I mean, what is the total population of Australia? Is it 23 million people, something like that?
Yeah, a little bit more, a little bit more.
Okay, so consider that America is 300 million people. Well, that's a little bit more difficult, you know, to corral that many people to run a successful kind of campaign and experiment. But when you've got a very large country and a very small, relatively small population, that's an ideal setting.
24 and a half
run
million,
all kinds
John.
Of 24 and a half.
24.585, okay. Yeah.
It's a very, it's the ideal place to run these kinds of experiments to see what happens. And believe me, as you've mentioned, this is the way they look at them. Okay, we're going to roll out this program now. And we want to see how it works. First of all, have we organized it in the best way possible to make it just function? Or is there something there that we need to do, you know, to tighten it up? Secondly, what's the reaction that we got? How much resistance? What kind of resistance? Who resisted? On what basis did they resist? All of this kind of information is digested at a level of planning. Okay, let's run all this data through and let's see what strategies we would now deploy if we were going to do it again. For example, we might change the kind of propaganda that we use because we saw that it was partially successful, but it had a certain downside and we're going to eliminate. You know, this is the way they think. And again, Australia is an ideal place to do these kinds of experiments because you're not dealing, first of all, it's an advanced Western society, but very small number of people relative to the size of the country. Perfect. Let's go, boys. This is the place to do it, and then we can export it to other places.
That's right. Yeah, it looks the same with this new program, Doctors in Schools. That's the one I was mentioning before. Doctors in Schools, they're rolling it out in Victoria. Why the hell would a student want to see a doctor once a week? That's unbelievable. And the Education Minister, James Molino, has refused to confirm whether the children will need parental consent to use the program. And they're talking about students seeing a doctor in school once a week. I haven't seen a doctor for years and years and years. I remember when I last saw one. Why would healthy kids need to see a doctor unless they really need to, unless they have a fall or they break their wrist or something?
What are they saying? What are they giving as the reason why and what's supposed to happen when the kids see the doctor?
They're just saying that it's a new initiative which will allow children to get more free health advice and service from doctors. It's going to be rolled out into 100 state secondary schools from next year on school grounds, and kids will be able to have that appointment one day a week with a doctor. So parents are raising concerns that this is going to bypass their parental approval. Ministers, the government's just telling them, you know, be quiet, it's not going to. So the AMA are all involved in this, you know, shut your mouth, go back to work, be quiet, we got your kids now. But yeah, they're really pushing all this stuff in the schools, so I've seen it. So I said, no jab wasn't just about your kids being vaccinated in going to childcare and you being stripped of your payments. It's a whole beast with a lot of tentacles. This is going to roll out to our everyday lives, even adults. I've you know, no jab, no job is on the table. There's so, you know, be able to get a job, you have to have a flu shot. This is all going to roll on. So people need to know what they let roll through here. And now their kids are being attacked in schools by these vampires. That's what they are, you know, in school. So, you know, when they drop their kids off there, it's a very scary thing. And then they're refusing to sort of mention here a few things. So I just shocked that kids would need to see a doctor in school. I mean, you know, they're trying to say that, well, you need this. Well, if kids, I'm sure parents can take their kids to the doctors, for God's sakes, if they need to. But they're exactly. taking over that control, you know, for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you
That's
don't
right.
have to worry about it. Mm.
And they're doing it, you know, the effect or the strategy behind this functioning medical octopus is to say, people are, and they should be, dependent on doctors all of their lives. You know, it's as if they're saying, look, we didn't realize the extent to which you need to be dependent, and neither did you. But now we know. Because of all of these, you know, epidemics out there, and the and the germs coming out of the rainforests and the distant places of Africa, whatever, and so on, and this and that, and the pressures of modern life, and, you know, they just pile up all the reasons and whatever. They are now basically prepping and prepping and prepping people to be conditioned to accept the idea that every human should be dependent on doctors for their whole lives, that this is the natural and normal situation. This is what they're bringing on. This is the whole idea, to the point where, let's say up the line, a certain number of years, people would say, well, of course my child sees a doctor once a week. Of course. I would be shocked if he didn't. I mean, it could be dangerous if he didn't. You see, I mean, this is how they're going to, eventually, this is what they want to morph it into, where everybody accepts the idea that, of course, we're all dependent on doctors for the rest of our lives, our entire lives. Natural. I mean, if you didn't think that were true, you would be some kind of crazy person or a heretic or mentally unbalanced. Because everybody knows that you should be, every human, you know, there are so many possibilities for mental disorders and diseases and so on and so forth, that it would just be completely irresponsible and crazy if a child didn't see a doctor once a week just to make sure that everything was okay. Well, everybody who's listening here could see, if you kept up this drumbeat, and as you're saying, you keep expanding the program and it gets bigger and bigger and it includes more and more, that after a certain amount of time, next generation and on, people are going to accept this as being normal. It's just like you get on the bus to ride to school in the morning, or you know, if the school has a cafeteria, that's where you eat lunch, or if not, you bring your own lunch. Well, the child sees a doctor once a week, of course. How could it not be that? This is where they're going, folks. This is where they're going.
It's going to be, you're going to be considered crazy if you don't do all of this. And that's what they did with no jab, you know. They're making parents out to be child abusers, neglectful, all of this, you know, that you're putting the community at risk for not vaccinating your child, everyone around you at risk, you're selfish, you know, all of this.
Sure.
That's what they're doing. It's that's absolutely right. unbelievable thing. But
and they'll do the same thing with the once a week. They'll highlight
right.
a case. They'll highlight a case of a child whose parents
right.
were resistant, and they refused to send the child to the doctor once a week. And lo and behold, the child came down with meningitis.
Chicken pox.
And, you know, and but it doesn't even have to be a communicable disease. It could be something else, you know, whatever. We found a rare blood disorder, you know. And It was almost too late. The child almost died. Well, if the child had been seeing the doctor once a week, this would have been taken care of at an early stage. And parents nod and they go, yes, sure, I see that. Yeah, early diagnosis, sure. You know, the idiot parade goes on. Well, the people who are awake and understand what's happening here have to speak out. And they have to get other people to wake up. Unless you just want a world of zombies, medical zombies, that are completely under control and accept the idea that life is not a happy thing, that people are prone to 30, 40, 50 diagnoses during their lifetime of mental disorders and various kinds of so-called diseases that require drugs and vaccines and so on. This is where they're going.
It's absolutely incredible what's happening here now, John. And now they've got the no jab into our schools and childcare. They've turned on adults now, the media. We have an article here from ABC. Millions of Australian adults are unvaccinated and are increasing disease risk for all of us. And so they've turned on adults now. I've actually saw articles where they're saying unvaccinated families are like bombs walking around your parks and neighborhoods, and it could go off at any moment. So they're saying, 4.1 million unvaccinated Australians, 92%, 3.8 million are adults. Only a small fraction are children, they're saying. So they're saying the bigger risk now is not the children. We've got them, forget them, it's now the adults. And, the fear-mongering through the media is unbelievable. They're going on about people bringing rabies and things back from Thailand and stuff like this, you know, all the virus scam stuff. But they actually, I've found some big mainstream articles now talking about travel in and out of Australia, whether people need to be vaccinated. So this is another thing coming that people need to be aware of, travel in and out of Australia. They're saying we're going to need, even for people visiting, they're going to need to be have their vaccines card or whatever it might be, you know, the flu shot card and everything. I have to come in here, but it's going to roll onto us as well. But it's amazing here they've turned on the adults, saying that, adults, of course, like us, John, we have our childhood vaccines because maybe our parents didn't know any better. But I only had a couple, I think maybe maximum four, three or four as a child. We all had the chicken pox. My brother had the mumps. We had the measles. It was not considered anything here, believe me, nothing. But this is amazing because I haven't been vaccinated ever again since I was a child. I cut myself overseas. I wouldn't get any shots for that. I've never had another one, and that goes around for most adults. They're unvaccinated and they don't need to be.
And they know that they know they're okay. You see, this is the other thing. It's schizophrenic because on the one hand, the adults know, hey, I'm fine. I didn't need any vaccines. You know, okay, so whatever they forced on me as a child. But since then, nothing. And I'm fine. But then you see the schizophrenic thing comes in. Oh, but the doctors are saying, and the people in the government are saying, and the pivot is saying, well, maybe. Got to go along with the doctor, I guess, you know. This is the typical idiot. Let's call it what it is. A total drone idiot. On the one hand, he knows he's healthy and he doesn't need any vaccinations. He's 50 years old and he's doing fine. Okay. And then on the other hand, in another part of his mind, it's like, well, you know, if the government says so and the doctor says so, I guess I got to go along with getting, 23 different vaccines in the next few months. I guess so. And this is a schizophrenic thing that the idiots are submerged into. They don't understand it. And the people who are aware have to speak up and they have to get other people educated. There is no other way around this. And it has to be done. You see, here's another reason why in Australia it's an ideal setting for an experiment, because the follow-up trolls and the people who attack the people who are awake and know what's happening, it's much easier to have a small number of psychotic trolls carrying all that freight to attack people online and so forth who try to make people aware of what's happening in the world of vaccines and so forth in a country where the population is relatively small. Absolutely. Much easier to kowtow the people and get them to shut up than if you have a country where you've got 300 million people where it's a little more difficult. So let's run the experiment in Australia.
That's right. You know? That's right. It's domestic terrorists here, these trolls. That's so bad.
Absolutely.
Vicious.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if they're not being overtly paid, they're being told, you're doing a great service, and people like that want to think about, have some little amount of prestige in their life. Well, I'm helping the authorities, It's like being a snitch. I'm going to become a professional snitch, and I'm going to spy on all my neighbors and report anything that looks a little bit out of the ordinary to the police, because I want to be known by the police as somebody who helps the police. So they'll say to me and pat me on the head, "You're a good boy, and thank you, and we like you." And that's their life. That's the big thing they get. That's the cherry on top of the cake for them. That's all they've got in their life. That's it. There's nothing else. Right.
That's right. Oh, it's just unbelievable. Anyway, yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, they're telling you, John, you're missing out if you're an adult. You're missing out on vaccines, adults contribute substantially to ongoing epidemics, they're saying, preventable diseases. Yeah, they're saying that adults are causing pertussis, when I have a CDC document saying that pertussis vaccine is a failure, and
right.
people who get it doesn't work after a while, and they become reservoirs. They carry it and they infect infants, but they don't give you that information in the papers. They're just saying adults are now spreading diseases. They're walking zombies. So this needs to be looked at. So there you go. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Yeah. It's really. I think we've got a good change here, though, John. That's a positive thing I would say here. I think, in a way, I know it's really strange to say, I think we needed this no-jab thing to wake people up, so it was coming anyway. And I think we needed it because we've just got this grassroots, strong health freedom movement now on social media everywhere with what we're doing now. Everyone's kind of waking up to this, and I think from what I've seen, the latest stats, we're getting a regression in vaccine rates in a lot of areas in Australia. So the papers are panicking now. And really pumping out the fear and propaganda as people start to question vaccines because they're getting more access to good information better information for what you're doing over there and what we're all doing in the movie Vaxxed. A lot of parents are seeing this now. They've got a Vax bus rolling around Australia informing and showing people, and the trolls are throwing tantrums. But the fact is, parents, the government's big fear here is just general everyday parents who are pregnant, about to have a baby or have a child or a family or whatever, get access to information in regards to vaccine science and dangers. So that's what we're all doing this for, and I think we're starting to have an effect. It's very new in Australia, but it is coming. It's not like the US. It's new here, but I think we're going to start seeing a regression in the vaccine numbers and people questioning this more. So it's positive times, but it's hard too here. It's hard being on the ground, but we're doing what we can.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Some of the themes, potential themes, like who is selling fear? Who are the salesmen of fear? And why do they sell fear? How much money can you make selling fear to people? Because that's really what the whole program is about, to sell fear. And then to scream at the people that don't cave in. Things like this, is it a medical disease, or are the doctors spreading the disease of fear?
That's right.
Is there really this much disease around, or is that a complete lie? And is the real disease the doctors who sell fear?
That's right.
Because this is really, what it's all about. And it's always worked throughout history. You can look anywhere you want to, in any country, any tribe, any clan. It's always the same. The leader says there's an enemy, and we must be afraid of the enemy, and we must attack the enemy. So in modern terms, they've transferred all that over to the virus. You know, the virus is the enemy. And then after that, they say the people who refuse treatment are the enemy. They are the walking time bombs. You know, we must fear the enemy and we must destroy the enemy. It's the oldest propaganda trick in the book to rally the people into one herd. And that herd then attacks the outsiders. That's the way psychological operations work. We have to gather in a consensus of the majority and make them into a herd that attacks whatever or whoever we tell them is threatening the herd. That's our program. That's what we do. And that's what people have to wake up to and see, I've seen this pattern before. Oh, here we go again. It's the same old story, just with new words, new terms, new threats, etc. But it's the same thing, selling fear.
That's right. That's right. Fear, fear, fear. That's what they're pumping out. It's like a sewage pipe just pumping out the fear into the population. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, we keep pushing, John, keep going forward. It's just really, I don't think we have enough time today with you. We're on the hour, but I didn't have enough time to bring up one of your new articles, but Natural News put out an article, CNN has become a creepy bullying propaganda network seeking vengeance against its critics. This was a guy, Glenn Greenwald, an individual there, he put images there of Reddit identifying all the employees of CNN being Jewish, and depicting them as Jewish wasn't acceptable to CNN. They called it anti-Semitic, which is ridiculous, and engaged in what he said this creepy bullying behavior. But you just put out an article about two Israeli companies spying on the world. July 12th, John Rappaport. So that was, we've talked about this before, but that's a whole nother topic, but it leads into the spying thing as well. But there you go. Yeah, a big article out of Natural News from a guy here saying they're a creepy bullying propaganda network now seeking vengeance against critics. That's what the media has become. And I asked that before. I mean, with the whole Trump thing and everything that's going on in the modern climate, how are they going to react? Are they going to try and smarten up and straighten up here and try and make things right, at least these big networks? But they've got more vicious and nasty.
No, they're never going to do that. No.
Yeah, they've lashed
out.
Yeah,
the whole thing with CNN started, you know, well, it did start there, but recently there was this episode of some unknown person who created this sort of comic meme of Trump at a sort of a wrestling event with a guy whose head was covered with up with the CNN logo, and Trump, you know, wrestled him down to the floor and so forth.
That's right.
And so CNN, you know, they didn't like this naturally, so they claimed that they discovered who put this up online, and they said that they first claimed that he had apologized and that they would not release his name unless he did something like this again. In other words, attacked CNN again. Well, that's like blackmail threats from a giant media network against one lone individual. We don't know exactly what age that person is or anything. You know, so now people are creating their own little videos and memes, you know, multiplying this whole thing against CNN because they're sick and tired of these networks that just think that they must be the disseminator of the truth and that nobody else is allowed to say what's really going on in the world. But they're just cutting their own throats because this movement is not going to stop. It just keeps getting bigger. The resistance to the lies and the fake news of major media.
That's right. Yeah, lashing out isn't going to help them at all. Jeez. That's unbelievable. Yeah, yeah, nasty behavior indeed. Yeah, well, we'll wrap it up now. We've done just over the hour, and I'll post the Israeli information on the spying, because that's a very interesting article, and aligned with the NSA and stuff like that you've just put up. You're really pumping them out. So, and as I said before, yeah, we focused a lot on the medical issue today, but there's so much to go through in regards to that. But I was very interested to see what was going to happen over there when Trump came in, because a lot of people are sort of asking serious questions now about investigating vaccines and to do what he said he was going to do. So I'm sort of following that to see if that goes ahead, because it's important times for you guys mm-hmm. as well. Yeah, see what if he's really going to do here with this, because I'm not seeing a change at the moment. With that article about about your healthcare system, seems to be still dead in the water. So time will
tell. Yeah, we don't know whether that vaccine investigation is really going to move forward or not, but we'll see. We'll see.
Smoke and mirrors? Yeah. We'll see about that for sure. Yeah, well, time will tell. And, well, good to chat with you today, John.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, as always, we should do this when you have some time, same time. Maybe once Absolutely. A month if we can. It's good to go over your articles because you put so many out and they're so interesting. And I know people enjoy you talking about them and reading them as well. So I'll put those links up. For you also got John Rappaport's blog and nomorefakenews.com. I'll put those up with the podcast today and send it through to you when ready.
Okay, great. Yes, I'd be happy to do some updates periodically. So keep up the great work. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, that's good. We went a little bit over today, but we keep it at 45. We can run over your latest articles and get them out to people here because they really do well, especially on social media. So we'll put those out. So thanks very much for your time today, and take care, and keep the great work up.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. There goes John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com. Thanks for listening to the Kraz Files podcast. Take care.